And I've never seen a player be able to slap two other players on the field and still stay on the pitch. The two of our players got slapped, and we had to just stand around and take it. Did Vilakazi kick Weber in the chest after the ball was gone maliciously, yes or no? If the answer is yes, he should be charged.
Sokala Duma Radio.
Good day and welcome to The Big Interview. I'm your host, Slu Paho. This week, we saw the second legs of the MTN 8 semi-finals. 3 hours without a goal in the clashes between Highlands Park and Polokwane City led to a penalty shootout which went down to the wire. But it was Highlands Park who made history, netting the decisive kick, which sees them reach their first cup final in the PSL era. Then we saw the conclusion to the Tshwane derby. After a 1-1 draw in the first leg, SuperSport impressed once again to reach the MTN 8 final for the third straight season. But in a heated match, the poor officiating was clear to almost everyone, including SuperSport CEO Stan Matthews, who roasted South African referees for their inconsistent officiating. We also discussed their ambitions this season and their ongoing injury concerns. This is it. Welcome to The Big Interview. I'm happy to be joined on the line by SuperSport United CEO Stan Matthews. Stan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Lou. Nice to be on.
Congratulations are in order, first of all. I'm sure you must be very happy to have beaten a tough Sundowns team over two legs. How does it feel to be back in the MTN 8 final again for the third year in a row?
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, it's always good to win a derby. They've been very few and far between our wins. The third time we've beaten Sundowns in the last 7 years. So we know how difficult it is to beat them. And, you know, it's fantastic that we could do so over two legs. So, yep, our third MTN final in a row, which is a great achievement for the football club. I think it's our fourth MTN final in 6 years. So we've only won it once. So getting to the final is nice. But it's Wafa Wafa, so, you know, it doesn't count for anything at the moment.
Definitely. Back in the late 2000s, SuperSport United won three titles in a row. But for the past 9 years, you seem to have more success in the cup competitions between MTN 8 and the Nedbank Cup. But given your strong start to the season, I assume you have more confidence that your side can take home multiple trophies this time around.
I think we're not getting ahead of ourselves. We're very realistic about where we are as a football club. You know, you've got to be aware of the MTN curse. I was thinking last night when in 2013 we lost in the MTN final to Morocco Swallows. They landed up getting relegated. Platinum Stars won it. They landed up getting relegated. Wits won it. They ran into a bit of league trouble that year. We won it. We almost got relegated. So the MTN also has a double-edged sword. You can relax and think that your season's already, you know, you've achieved something. And meantime, we're in September, so we're not going to fall into that trap. It's nice to be in a final. It's great for the boys. They deserve it. They've played so well, and I think they've really been playing good football, you know, since the start of the season. Even the loss against Sundown was, I thought, a very good display by us. And, you know, their second goal, like ours yesterday, that came late, also came late. So it looked like a comprehensive 2-0 win, but we felt that we had played okay. And we've got young players, as you can see yesterday, both our goal scorers, 21 years old. I think that we're patient with this team, and we're certainly not going to saddle them with an expectation of winning the league championship, because that's a 30-game race. And we're sensible. You know, we know in a 4-game race in the MTN, we think we can go toe-to-toe with anybody. But in a 30-game race, you have to ride through so many injuries and suspensions and depth in squad. And we, as a football club right now, aren't really geared for that. Our depth in squad comes from our academy. And you need to be patient with young kids. You know, you're looking at Jamie Weber and Teboho Mokoena and Sipho Mbule now. But, you know, that's been 6 years of polishing. And that doesn't happen overnight. And we aren't a Sundown who are going to go out and buy multi-million rand players and the best of every other team and sprinkle our squad like Real Madrid. That's not what we're about. We're going to promote from within our academy where we can, and here and there make a couple of strategic signings that we think can gel together well with the team. And you saw this season, we've hardly made any signings. You know, but you know, a single, you know, humble signing like Gabuza in his 30s, but he's made a very big difference to the team. And that's kind of our model, to try and find a strategic players that will play a certain way. Last year, Makupu did that job so well for us, and gave us, you know, a good solid boost. But we're never going to be a team that can target one of the best players from the other teams to go and buy, because we can't compete in the transfer market with the big three. So we have to be realistic about who we are, and be true to our model. And that's worked for us up to now. This is our 10th cup final in 7 years. And, you know, that's a model that has worked for us, and has worked for us since 2004. And we're not going to change that right now. When we feel that we've got enough depth, and we're not far, far, far away, we're probably four players away from having a squad that can really go toe-to-toe with the likes of Sundowns and Pirates and Chiefs and Vith for the championship. But we can be like kind of dark horses, I reckon, with Cape Town City, that can maybe at least cause us a stumbling block for the other four.
Definitely. Now, towards the end of last season, you were frustrated and you gave your players an ultimatum to finish in the top six or face consequences, and they managed to pull it off. What else was done in the off season to improve on last season's performance?
No, well, you know, in terms of ultimatums and things like that, it sounds heavy-handed and, you know, unfair, but it wasn't really in that context. I think we look at our squad, as you saw last night and as you've seen against Pirates and against Vith and against Chiefs. You know, it's not like we've had an easy start to the season. We've played Sundowns 3 times in 6 weeks. We've played Pirates, we've played Chiefs, we've played Barocco away, we've played Cape Town City, we've played Vith. I don't think you can get a harder start to a season, and we've come through it okay. So as management, we look at that and say, well, if that's the case, what's stopping this team from being a top three? Because we've played the best of the best, and we've come through pretty okay. You know, okay, 8 points in the league. Maybe we feel we're 2 points short of where we should be. Missed the penalty to win the game against Chiefs. Dropped 2 points at home against Cape Town City. But that's not a train smash in the world of Super Sports United, if you know what I mean. Like, we're realistic, but we would have liked to have been on 10 points. And then who knows, you know? It's so early in the season, we can't be thinking about that. We've got a very difficult away game against Polokwane, who will be, you know, obviously hurting after what happened to them against Highlands Park. So we know that that's not going to be an easy game, and they're a team that's given us a hell of a hard time over the last few seasons, much like Cape Town. So we'll be gritting our teeth and going there. We've got to rotate a few players, because we came through last night, it was a bit of a war zone, and it wasn't exactly like we were protected by the referee. I mean, two of our players got slapped in the face, and they still finished with 11 players on the field, unbelievably. Another one of our players got kicked in the chest off the ball. Nothing happening there. You know, and Wayne Arendt committed maybe 5 yellow card offences and got away with a yellow and a nice chat. So, you know, for us, we didn't really get protection last night. We've got horrible injuries, and we'll need to rotate a few. We've already got Grant Kakana out. We've already got Evan Rizicki out. And this is the type of thing that I'm saying to you, you know, is very difficult for a team to sustain, because we can't feel the same strength team. Our starting, our best 11 can go toe-to-toe with anybody. But then after that, it's now time for our fringe players to stand up and be counted. We're looking forward to that, but we're not putting them under undue pressure. But we want to see them stand up. There's cup final places to be played for. I think you can see the competition in the midfield between Mbule, Mokoena and Weber is very, very fierce. And each of them have scored goals in their last four games. Weber scored twice. Mokoena scored, and Mbule scored and made goals. So, you know, those three are fighting very hard for two spots at the moment. Gabuza and Bradley have come to the party. So if we can start getting contributions from the likes of Rizicki and Modiba and Mahachi and Kalinga, if those four, you know, can chip away and assist the others who have been delivering so far, then you know, we could finish in the top four in the league and hopefully regain the MTN trophy, because, you know, as I said, getting to the final is nice, but you know, we've lost the MTN final twice now, and it's a horrible feeling. So we're up against my old team, Highlands Park. It's a beautiful, emotional time for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Highlands was my first club. I've only ever had two clubs in my life, Highlands Park and SuperSport United. So it's exceptionally emotional final for me. I'm looking, you know, so forward to it. It's going to be our sixth MTN final. Mm-hmm. It's all or nothing. So hopefully we can do the business and regain the trophy. The boys were so bitterly disappointed last year, losing on penalties. Mm. We'd love to retain it, but we know we're up against a very motivated and dynamic, young, vibrant Highlands team. You know, Brad Castle and Larry Brookstone, Owen Degarma, Freeze, you know, they've all done such an unbelievable job in resurrecting the club and you know, cementing themselves, you know, as a PSL side again, and getting into the top eight in the first place, and now making the first final since 1982. It means such a lot to their football club, and you know, they're going to be straining every sinew and stretching every muscle to annex a trophy, and we have to make sure that we meet that desire that they're going to have pound for pound. And if we do that, then you know, we've got a chance of winning the trophy.
Definitely. You know, I do want to touch on the incidents that happened last night in terms of a lack of protection from the ref in a bit. But you speaking about injury, it reminds me of Bradley Grobler last season. Now, he's been excellent this season, so much so that it's already led to transfer speculation only after 5 matches in the league. But I'd like to discuss his injury last season. He gave thanks to the medical team when he won Player of the Month for August. How crucial is your staff when it comes to rehabilitating these players, both physically and mentally, especially for long-term injuries?
Look, you know, for us, we're very, very happy with not just the technical team, because they're very aware that, you know, from a technical point of view, they're steering the ship, but it takes an entire team. And our scientific and medical support staff at the club, you know, are very dear to us. They're very professional people. Really look after the long-term interests of the players. We don't rush players back. I mean, Bradley himself hasn't played really more than, I think last season was the first season he's played more than 20 games in a season for us in his 5 seasons with us. So we've had to wrap him in cotton wool and look after him, because if games were every Saturday, he'd be, you know, by far and away the number one PSL striker by miles. But because we play Wednesday, Saturday, Wednesday, like even us now, you know, four games in the space of 13 days, you know, Bradley's can't do that. And he's in his 30s. We can't rewind the clock. And he just doesn't have that, you know, in his locker, because when we've tried that before, he's broken down. And his body has shown us that. So some players you have to look after a little bit differently and nurse them, especially the ones in their 30s. We don't have many anymore, you know, senior players at the back. Of course, Clayton and Bongani, Dean in the midfield, and Gabuza and Bradley up front. You know, the rest of our players, we've got a young team, and we're bringing them on slowly and not rushing them back. And that's what that applies to all the players. At the moment, we've got about 7 or 8 with niggles. You know, Aubrey Modiba's just come back from injury. And as I said, Riziki and Kakana out, and, you know, Clayton's showing a little bit of fatigue. So it'll be nice for young Luke Fleurs to get a chance now to show what he can do. He's a fantastic young prospect and a player that we believe will certainly be representing Bafana Bafana in the future.
Sokola Duma Radio.
Hey Sokola Duma listeners, the Sokola Duma social media app has finally launched. Head to Google Play or Apple App Store,
Search Soccer Laduma and download it now. You can earn airtime, data, and a whole lot more for simply taking selfies and sharing them.
I want to touch on the incident with Cirino, and obviously there was a couple of others on the pitch. Now, VAR has been a hot topic of football since it was introduced. I'm personally a fan. I think fair is fair if they do it right. Do you think that VAR should be introduced in South African football? And if so, how quickly do you think it needs to be introduced?
I think it's a complex discussion that requires a lot more rigorous debate at board of governors level before people can start expressing opinions. Certainly, I'm a fan of VAR in principle because one wants to see that decisions are correct. You can stomach a decision when it goes against you, when it's there and you can see it and it was a handball or it was off, clearly offsides or you know it was over the line and those type of things. You want definitive yay or nay and you can live with it. I think we don't really need VAR to review some of the incidents that happened last night. I think I'm 20 years in football and I've never seen a player be able to slip two other players on the field and still stay on the pitch. So I'm saying to you, it's disappointing, that's all, because it will never happen for a SuperSport United player to raise his hand to another player and still be on the pitch. We got dished out 5 or 6 yellows last night. Did you see what they were for? And then you look on the other side, all we want is consistency. And when you see off-the-ball incidents that were missed by the referee, you have to stomach it, like we did last night. Our players showed tremendous restraint. Mm. That two of our players got slapped, and we had to just stand around and take it. Mm. And it was just a matter of, you know, one of my players losing their head and also raising his hand or sticking out a chest or pointing his head forward, because that's how silly it gets, as you see, worldwide. And then we would have had a red card. Why? Because the situation wasn't managed properly. A player that raises his hand to another player once is off. Mm. Twice, certainly off. And then all the other issues, the incident that was caught clearly on camera. You can decide for yourself. Look at it on camera. Did Vilakazi kick Weber in the chest after the ball was gone maliciously? Yes or no? If the answer is yes, he should be charged. Because my players have been charged for off-the-ball incidents previously. Mm. Morgan Gould got charged and banned and fined very, very heavily for an off-the-ball incident that was missed by the referees, but was taken up afterwards by the officials. Mm. So one wants to see that these things are handled consistently, that's all. If we see off-the-ball incidents, the whole of South Africa sees a player slap two other players and not get a red card. And the whole of South Africa sees a player put his studs through a player's chest off the ball in a bad sport incident. And that's acceptable. You know, the Wayne Arendt incident one can live with, but, I mean, how many yellow card offences and then still a chat? And Dean Furman just, like, looks sideways or up in the air, rolls his eyes and gets a yellow card. Mm. Mm. You know, another incident is manhandling. All one wants to see is consistency. Definitely. And when you see some of these refereeing decisions, it's hard enough to beat a team like Sundown, fair and square, with players that they have, to just try and overcome the might that is Sundown. And then you have to go into a game when they should have finished the game with 8 men, and they finished with 11. So it feels not right, and I'm hoping that the authorities look at the game last night and take the appropriate decisions, whatever they feel that they may be. But I don't think that we can just ignore off-the-ball incidents like that that were ignored on the field. They should at least have the retroactive action off the field. And I think that that's a separate discussion from VAR. The principle of VAR is fantastic. The application is complex. Mm. And I think you can see that there are many opinions around the world since it's been implemented that it's actually problematic for the game in various ways. Definitely. So until those teething problems and learning curves are being implemented by leagues that have a lot more resource than us, because VAR is very, very costly to implement. And we would love to have it in our league. We want to have the best of everything in our league. But unfortunately, I think you have to be realistic about where you are and what's priority right now. And there are, I think, one or two higher priorities than VAR until VAR has like firmly been embedded in the culture, I think, of all the top leagues around the world. And we can benefit from learning from, you know, their mistakes and their learning curves and economies of scale and price points that will reduce when more competitors come into the market. I think it will be inevitable that VAR will make its way in one way, shape or form or another into our football, because as it becomes part of global football, so PSL's always kept up with the top seven leagues, and we've tried to track that as much as possible wherever we can, and I'm sure that we will continue to do so.
For sure. And look, I was watching the game, but I was also on Twitter at the same time, and I have to say everybody agrees with you in terms of the ridiculousness of some of those decisions last night, or lack thereof, should I rather say. But lastly, before I let you go, this weekend you go up against Polokwane City, as you've mentioned. They have the best defense in the PSL with only one goal conceded. On the other hand, SuperSport United is tied with Bloem Celtic for the best attack in the league with 9 goals in 5 matches. What type of match, if you were to make a prediction, do you think that we're in for here? A tough, hard-fought match with not many chances, or an open, free-flowing match?
I think our kind of discussions with Keitana and as a football club is that we want to try and play to our strength and also give buoyancy to what we think is young, vibrant talent in the team, in the form of the Webbers and the Mbulis and that. So we want to try and express ourselves. I think you saw in the Cape Town City game that this season, I think we're going to approach it of let's go toe-to-toe. We had the third best defensive record in the league last year. So if we can maintain, and we've kept that defense. So if we can maintain, you know, obviously Morgan, you know, dropped out of there, but young Luke Fleurs comes in and you know, like for like on game time, Luke will play similar amount of minutes that Morgan played last year. So for us, we've got a stable kind of a back four that's worked well together. If they can maintain that top three defensive record, we've added enough in the team, you know, with the Mahachis and the Kalingas and the Gabuzas. We've added enough goals, I think, to go toe-to-toe with a few teams and play higher risk football than last year, when we kind of erred a little bit more towards the defensive side. I think this year we will go a little bit more attacking. So in all your predictions, you can go for some, you know, high scoring games, I think, with SuperSport, because we're going to try back our players to get on the front foot and start scoring goals. And, you know, if we need to patch up at the back at a given point in time, you know, that's doable. But we want to see our team, you know, play positive and attacking football. And I think you've seen that. We've scored 3 goals against Wits. We scored 3 goals against Pirates. You know, we scored 3 goals against Cape Town City. And we feel we've got goals in the team. So I'm hoping that we go to Polokwane. Obviously, you can't go mad in Polokwane because they hit you so hard on the break. You know, they've got such quick, pacey players and they play so freely. They're pretty unpredictable, and especially with a playmaker like Jabu Maluleka, who can pretty much put the ball anywhere. So we've got a lot of respect for Polokwane, but we would like to go toe-to-toe with them and have a go and see what comes out on the other side, because in this league, draws, they don't take you too far. So, you know, I think we've already drawn against Chiefs and Cape Town City. You know, we need to start winning a few games.
Fantastic. Well, a victory would give you an outside chance to claim top spot in the league this weekend. So best of luck to you and your team. And thanks for joining me on the show.
Thanks, Lou. Thanks very much.
That's all for the big interview. What a week in football it has been. The MTN8 continues to fascinate, and I personally can't wait for the final between SuperSport United and Highlands Park. Both sides must now turn their attention to the PSL, which is heating up every week. No fan reaction show on Monday, but we will bring you a great interview. I chat to former Kaizer Chiefs star Stanton Fredericks about the Shield Sponisi Diski Challenge. Don't miss out on that one. Many of you have planned a long weekend, so enjoy it. There's plenty of football action. So get involved on our social media platforms and join the conversation. From myself, your host, Slu Paho, and my editor, Simon Strella, have a fantastic weekend.
Sokala Duma Radio. Sokala Duma Radio.